Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Penguin Radio, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Drew, and you're listening to my show, once again, Numbers on the Court. Every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, get ready to slam dunk into the heart of NBA action. I'll talk about the latest NBA games, stats, or what's happening around the association, and as well as the other sports. So yeah, get ready to listen to my show. So hello, everyone. For my first segment, I wanted to know, it's a weekly thing now. I talk about, like, the latest, the NBA games from the past week. So today's Wednesday, so from last Wednesday, I talk about what happened and how the seedings are looking like right now for the playoffs. There's about three games left in the regular season, so yeah, playoffs are gonna start, very soon, less than a week, away from the play-in tournament. That's what they start with off first. The 10 and 9 seeds play each other. 7 and 8 seeds also play each other. And then the playoffs start after those 8 teams play against each other. But yeah, let's dive right into it. Starting with yesterday, there was, I think, every single team in the... Yeah, I'm pretty sure every single team in the NBA played yesterday. Because Monday was the March Madness championship game, which I'll talk about actually on when I get to there. But I'll start off with yesterday with all the NBA games. I'll just note like all the ones that are like important. First, the Warriors were playing the Lakers. Really pivotal game. Both teams, Warriors 10 seed, Lakers 9 seed. If the Lakers won, they would have moved up to 8. The Warriors are basically in the play-in now, but they're just looking for some more wins under the belt, playing some of the best basketball they have been all season. And so is the Lakers, but the Lakers were missing Anthony Davis in this game. The Warriors actually came out on top, 134 to 120. And they needed this win. They have a record of 44 and 35 now. The Lakers actually have a record of 45 and 35 now. They've actually played a game more. So if the Warriors, they'd be tied with the same record if the Warriors win their next game. But, for the Warriors, Draymond Green had 15 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds, and I'm pretty sure all 15 of his points were all in the first half. He hit 5 threes, 5 for 5 from 3, so unexpected of Draymond, but yeah, he was on fire that game. Klay Thompson had 27 points, really good shooting night for Klay Thompson. Really he's found his groove over the past couple weeks, for sure. And then Steph Curry had 23 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. And CP3, Chris Paul, had 11 points, 6 rebounds, and 9 assists. For the Lakers, LeBron did play in this game after sitting out the last game. He had 33 points, 7 rebounds, and 11 assists in 36 minutes of action. And Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves had to step up with 20 points and 22 points for the both of them. But it wasn't enough, and the Warriors prevailed, came out on top. And it was a big win for the play-in tournament like seedings. The next game I want to talk about is the Clippers and Suns. This game was really interesting because the first quarter, I'm pretty sure the Clippers were winning by like 30 points, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Suns ended the first quarter with less than 10 points, and the Clippers had like 37 points. So it was already a horrible start for the Phoenix Suns, and it didn't end well going into halftime as well. They were down 66 to 33, so a whole 33 points down already. Only scored 33 points in the first half and were 33 points down in the first half. So they needed some sort of spark, some sort of comeback, and they actually did. In the third quarter and the fourth quarter, they completely outscored the Suns. The game actually came down to 6 points after being down by more than 30 points, which was crazy. But the Clippers managed to just steal it out and get the win. But it's also concerning for the Clippers because, like, when it comes to playoff time, you can't have, like, lapses of concentration when you're up by 30 points and you think the game's done when it's actually not. But, yeah, they won 105 to 92. They have a record now, the Clippers do, at 51 and 28. The Suns continue to fall into that play-in seed now. They're the 7th seed, which is the first seed in the play-in, but they want to get out of that. But now they're 46 and 33, so they need to win their last 3 games of the season to, hopefully stay out of that play-in race for that organization. For the Clippers, Paul George had 23 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Zubac had 17 points and 13 rebounds. And Russell Westbrook had a monster game. He played 40 minutes, but played his heart out, scoring 16 points, 15 assists, and 15 rebounds, triple-double. That's what Westbrook does. He just plays hard every time. That's why you got to respect his game so much. For the Suns, they had a poor shooting night. Booker went 1 for 11, only 12 points. Bradley Beal only had 19. Kevin Durant only had 21. So, yeah, it was just a struggle throughout the game. They needed a lot of scoring for their bench to get back into it because the starters couldn't really do anything. And, yeah, moving on to the next game from the last game from yesterday I'm going to talk about is the Celtics playing the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, this was an interesting game because the Bucks actually have the number on the Celtics this year. Surprisingly enough, even though the Celtics have the best record in the NBA at 62-17, that was just their 17th loss yesterday. They lost 104-91. The Bucks have a 48-31 record, and they're second in the East. And like to put that in perspective, if the Bucks were in the West, they'd be like the sixth seed right now. So that's how competitive the West is. And the East is, yeah, I don't know. There's only like a couple of good teams in there. And the Bucks are second seed now. But the main story point about this game was Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis going down with the injury, which was really everyone just pauses and, you know, is scared for a second when they see a star player for your franchise go down. It was a non-contact injury with his, I think it was like his lower leg. I don't know. They just released that he's out. He's going to miss the next three games of the season. Oh, yeah. So it's a calf injury for the next three games of the season, and he'll be evaluated later in the season when it comes to playoff time. So he's done now for the rest of the season. But yesterday when that happened, everyone was just in shock. He only had 15 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists because he had to leave in the third quarter. Damian Lillard had only 12 points, so it wasn't like a big. None of the guys on the Milwaukee Bucks had huge scoring performances. They had six guys in double figures, and that's always a good thing when you can have more than four or five guys in double figures. You always have a good chance to win a basketball game. Jason Tatum had 22 points, but he struggled from shooting. Jaylen Brown only had 14 points, so yeah, it was a bad shooting night from the Celtics, and the Bucks just played good defense and got a big win, and hopefully that, you know, gets their momentum going, because they've been very questionable the last couple weeks with the consistency. They've lost to like teams like the Wizards and Grizzlies, so they need to like focus up if they want to be prepared for the playoffs when that comes around, and see who they play for sure. Moving on to Sunday, because Monday there weren't any games because of the March Madness championship game. I'll actually preview that right now. Or like explain what happened in that game. Number one UConn played number one Purdue. You don't really see nowadays like 2-1 seeds playing against each other. You see maybe a 2-3-4, maybe a 5 seed sneaking in there. It's really rare you see 2-1 seeds battling it out in the championship game. But yeah, this year it happened. UConn prevailed. They won the game. They're the best team in college basketball. I've said it for the whole year. They were the best team last year. They're the best team this year. They won back to back. Dan Hurley, who's the head coach, has done a fantastic job with that program, getting the recruits they need, playing the basketball. They play excellent defense, probably the best defense in all college basketball. And their game plan basically was, to summarize it in this game, was basically let Zach Edey, who was the, you know, who's the college basketball player of the year for the second time running for Purdue, 7'4" center. They basically just let him score all the points in the game. He finished with 37 points, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, lots of scoring. 37 points in a game is, like, you know, that's a good thing. You're probably going to win the game if your main player has 37 points. But their game plan was basically let him score all the points, but we'll just limit all the other guys. So just – and it worked out. They won the game 75-60. Like I said before, Zach Edey had 37 points, 10 rebounds for the Boilermakers, Purdue Boilermakers. But everyone else had just struggled. I mean, Brandon Smith had 12 points, but everyone else couldn't score more than 5 points. So that just explains what UConn's defense and strategy was going into this game. Like, they scored 60 points in total, Purdue, and Zach Edey had 37 of them. So, yeah, it was a terrific game plan. UConn scored 75. Everyone just chipped in. Like, they don't have, like, one star player. It's just all five guys who are on the court all chip in. Tristan Newton was the leading scorer for the team, though, with 20 points, five boards, seven assists. Stephon Castle was second leading scorer with 15 points. And they just played, Donovan Killigan, the center, 7-2 center, really matched up well with Edey and, you know, blocking shots. And Cam Spencer was really good rebounder in this game and provided some real good defense for sure. But yeah, that was the, I just wanted to, you know, preview that Monday game, that Monday game, the championship game. But yeah, moving on to the NBA action, what happened on Sunday. I have the 76ers beating the Spurs in double overtime, actually. This was a crazy game. Double overtime, 133-126. Big win for Philadelphia because the Spurs don't really need to win now. They're just, you know, playing the rest of the season out, see what draft pick they get. But the 76ers do need to get more wins because they've ever since the Joel Embiid injury, they've fallen out of playoff position and they're just fighting for a play-in spot now. But Joel Embiid actually came back last week. So, but he didn't play in this game. They were just, you know, managing his injury. He can't play back-to-back, and this was a back-to-back game for the 76ers. Tyrese Maxey, guard for the 76ers, he exploded in this game. He had 52 points in 54 minutes, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. He shot the ball exceptionally well, along with Kelly Oubre, who added 26 points in 48 minutes of play. Like, these guys added 50 minutes plus because it was double overtime and still performed really well. So you got to give kudos to those guys for sure. For the Spurs, obviously Victor Wembanyama is the main guy on the team. 33 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists, crazy stat lines, so many blocks, so many steals. Just the defensive anchor. He's just a freak athlete, freak rookie. And I'm just excited to see what he does in the future for sure. Moving on to another game that happened on Sunday. I had the Clippers beating the Cavaliers. I was watching some of this game, and yeah, the Cavs started off on fire. They had something like I think they had a 26 point lead at one point in the game. Played really well in the first half. Shot the lights out for the first two quarters and a half of the game. And then as soon as, I don't know what happened, but the Clippers just turned on a spark with their bench unit. Paul George exploded. He couldn't miss in the fourth quarter, and they managed to come back and win by 2 points. Paul George actually hit the game winner with like 1 second left. It was like a nice elbow jumper, step back, actually broke the guy's ankles, Evan Mobley's ankles. And he hit the shot to give him the lead. George had 39 points in this game, 7 boards, 7 assists, and 44 minutes of play. So he only missed 4 minutes of action in this whole game because they needed him to make this comeback. James Harden had 22 points, but he didn't play actually like a lot of minutes because he's managing an injury. But also their bench unit was playing so well that Ty Lue, the coach, just said let's leave him in and see what they can do, and it paid off and they won the game. For the Cavaliers, Darius Garland had 28 points in 40 minutes of play, along with 8 assists. And then Max Strus and Evan Mobley both notched 20 points, but the Cavaliers couldn't hold on to their lead, and they lost to the Clippers via a Paul George game winner with 1 second remaining. Moving on to Saturday, you had the Nuggets beating the Hawks pretty convincingly, too, by 30 points. Jokic played in this game only 31 minutes because it was already a blowout, so he didn't need to play a lot of minutes, which is good for the team. He doesn't play a lot. You can rest him, but he had another triple double, 19 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists. Played really well, so you gotta salute to him for that one. Michael Porter Jr. had 20 points. in 25 minutes. And then Jamal Murray had 16 points for the Nuggets, but only in 21 minutes because they didn't need to play because they were already winning by so much. Sorry. Clint Capella for the Hawks had a double-double with 19 and 12. And Jalen Johnson had 17 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists as well. Moving on to Friday, the Friday games. There was only 2 games on the Saturday, so I'll just move on to Friday. Lots of teams played on Friday. You had the Mavericks, Dallas Mavericks, playing the Golden State Warriors. Close game. Dallas managed to win though, 108-106. That's big for them for the record too. They move up to 47-30. While the Warriors were at 42-35. Luka Doncic, of course, big time as always. Oh, sorry, Luka Doncic actually didn't play this game. I forgot. He played in the other game. Kyrie Irving, sorry, was big time in this game. He had 26 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. PJ Washington was actually the leading scorer for the team. Played the most minutes, too, 40 minutes, 32 points. He hits a lot of clutch threes, especially corner threes. And that's why I said earlier on that he was a really good free agent acquisition for the team when they signed him from – or when they traded him from the Charlotte Hornets. So, yeah, he came up big time. For the Warriors, Curry had 28 points. Klay Thompson had 16. He actually could have hit a game-winning three at the end off a corner. They had Chris Paul pass it to him, but he missed. So that's why the Warriors had lost. But they had a chance to actually win this game in the last second with Klay Thompson. But unfortunately, Klay missed. And, the Dallas Mavericks got a big win at home in Dallas. The next game on that day was the Boston Celtics playing the Sacramento Kings in Boston. This was a strange game because the Celtics already have the best record in the league. They don't need to play their players anymore as many minutes. So obviously, the Celtics played all their minutes in the first half. But then when the second half came, Joe Mazzulla just basically played all his bench players. And they already had a 20-point lead going into the fourth quarter, but since he played all their bench players and Sacramento was still playing all the starters like Sabonis and Fox, they managed to come back and make this game really close, like under like 2 points with like a minute remaining. Sacramento actually took the lead, and then Boston called a timeout. Still were running with their bench unit. Xavier Tillman, the backup center, hit a dunk, and then Sacramento missed the shot by Fox, and then Boston somehow managed to come out of the game victorious, winning 101-100, just playing their bench players for the whole second half. So you got to respect how good that team is and how deep they are to beat a pretty good Sacramento team with all the starters. Sabonis for the Kings had 16 points, 16 rebounds, 6 assists. Fox had 40 points in 44 minutes, so he scored, but just wasn't enough. No one on the team shot well besides Fox. Like I said, Jason Tatum only played 32 minutes, had 17 points. Kristaps Porzingis only had 24 minutes played, but had 20 points and 11 rebounds. And then Peyton Pritchard off the bench, like I said, had 21 points and was the main factor on why they won this game in Boston. Moving on to the Thursday games. Yeah, the Thursday games. You had the Warriors beating the Rockets. The Warriors, big win for them. Especially because the Rockets were right behind them in the play-in. They needed this win, for sure. It moved them up to 42-34. And it actually made the Rockets have a huge mountain to climb in the play-in race now. I'm pretty sure they have no chance now of making it with 3 games remaining. But at the time, it was huge last week. Steph Curry came up clutch. Klay Thompson, the Splash Brothers, came up clutch. They both had 29 apiece on great shooting. Trayce Jackson-Davis, who's become a really good spark play rookie for the Warriors, had 20 points, sorry. And Jeremiah Green had 8, 5, and 5. For the Rockets, you had Jabari Smith Jr. having 24 points, but everyone else shot pretty poorly from the field. So credit to the Warriors defense that held every single starter in check besides Jabari Smith. But they won 103-110, so The Warriors will take that all day long for sure, especially because of the position they're in now. The last game was the Nuggets playing the Clippers. This is a really close game as well. The Clippers just squeezed it out by 2 points. Seems like the Clippers playing close games all the time now. But yeah, they won 102-100. The Nuggets looked pretty comfortable in this game. As soon as they have to take Jokic out for a breather, they just can't cope. That's why Jokic is probably the most valuable player in the league, because when he's off the court, the team just looks so much more different without him. But yeah, Jokic had 36 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, you know, but everyone else shot pretty poorly. Aaron Gordon had 18 points. Michael Porter Jr. had 14 points. Jamal Murray didn't play in this game. He's still managing his injury issues. And then, yeah, for the Clippers, Paul George had 28, James Harden had 20. And yeah, Zubac had a double-double, and they managed to clutch up and win a really close game. So yeah, shout out the Clippers for getting a clutch win against one of the best teams in the NBA, in my opinion, if not the best, then in the Denver Nuggets. So yeah, that's my segment on the latest NBA games and the recap of what happened. Once again, you're listening to Penguin Radio, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Drew, and you're listening to my show, Numbers in the Court. And when I'm back, I'll talk about my next segment. Thank you. Spitting cigarettes and fighting about our politics, you're so bad for me, it turns me on. What do? This to each other. Guess it's fun when it feels wrong. And maybe this is better than not having you at all. Oh, you'll be gone in a minute before a second you're mine. I'll chill on me, blink twice if you do.
Shake that, it's like a mother. 10. What would you do? 20 and get on the stage, shake that. Yeah. Get on the pole, do a back bend. I like that. Do it again. Here's another 10. Do it again. Work it like a in the wind. Make that. Yeah, yeah, twin.
16 with thongs and one blood. Must be red bones and big butts. Cash been splitting all on the floor. On the 5, 10 to 9, certified. On the pole upside down.
She for real.
In 69, plenty of time to
be on.
My day shit hurt, my night shit turn. Doing anything that you try so you can.
Oh, yeah. Go wide open. So much they call up in the ocean. Like an 18 below.
Welcome everyone. You're listening to Penguin Radio, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Drew. You're listening to my show, Numbers on the Court. So for this segment, I have a guest interview with Stu, my teacher. Ask him a few questions about his background in radio, you know, teaching, his favorite things in radio, favorite games. Some advice he can give to students that want to pursue radio in the future. And yeah, we'll start it off. So first, can you share about, you know, a bit about your background in radio and like broadcasting and how you came to like teaching at Dominican University?
Sure. That's good. And by the way, thank you for having me in. This is great.
No problem.
I always listen to Numbers on the Court, one of my absolute favorite shows, so I can keep up with the NBA and, you know, basketball in general, which I love. What's the question? How did I get into it?
Like, background in like radio and radio broadcast and like how you came to teach at Dominican.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm an alum from Dominican. I graduated Dominican many decades ago with a cohort of really cool people. And after I had graduated, well, so when I was a student here, I started the radio station. Penguin Radio was just an idea, really, decades ago. And another student and I kind of got the thing going. His name is John Baker, and he was the tech guy. He knew how to get the whole thing started from a tech standpoint, which at the time, that was the challenging thing. We were working on AOL online at the time, which was all dial-up. There was no high speed, nothing. The internet was in its infancy. And just to show you how arcane it was, when somebody would do a show, when a student would do a show, or when I would do a show when I was a student, because that's when I started, we would preserve the games on cassette tape and the shows. So we had to have a cassette deck here. We weren't in this room. This is a beautiful studio, soundproof, the whole thing. Back then, we were behind the ASDU office in Bertrand Hall, just in the back next to a bunch of junk. One computer. It wasn't a studio. It was just a computer with an application that allowed us to stream audio, but it wasn't consistent. Didn't sound good. A lot of drops. And we would preserve these shows on a cassette, so we actually had to have a cassette running, a cassette tape, which a lot of people who listen to your show, young people probably don't remember much in the way of cassettes. Probably never used a cassette. But the longest cassette you could get back then was 46 minutes a side. So somewhere in the middle of your show, you'd have to stop and flip the tape over and record again. And we do that at all of our basketball games. And we were just kind of getting started with things, right? So really primitive, the way that we did things. And it was so funny because I remember my mother would listen to the broadcast and she would communicate with me via AOL Instant Messenger. And she would, you know, send me a note invariably from game to game, you know, the signal dropped, there's no stream, dead air, right? What, meanwhile, we're trying to do the game and mm-hmm. everything was so primitive that there was no guarantee that just because we were on now that we were going to be on in 5 minutes. So anyway, I fell in love with radio really at that point. And when I graduated, the same year that I graduated, a lady named Melba Beals, who was a famous civil rights activist, who had come to chair the communication department here at Dominican. There had never really been a real comm department. And they brought in Melba because she had a lifetime in communication, radio, and television. And she could get things done. And she certainly did. She got the department going. And a couple of months after I graduated, she wrote me a note and said, I know you started the radio station, and I wonder if you would be willing to come and talk to me about continuing in that role, run the radio station. So I was elated at that, because I thought when I graduated, I thought it was over. Penguin Radio would go away. And So she got me I would get paid through an honorarium, a small amount of money to do a ton of work, which was not work because I love it. Yeah. You know, I was happy to do it, to keep this idea going that we had started as students. In fact, the whole thing started in Fanzhou in John Baker's dorm room. He lived on campus. I didn't. But that was where it began, right? And he was the brains behind the outfit. I was the voice. I did all the talking. He did all the teching. And it was a good combination. At any rate, she asked me to stay on, got to know me a little bit, had me come and teach in her then radio classes. And one day she says to me, I was 40 years of age or something. And I had a small business in the East Bay, and I was doing fine. And she said, you know, I know you like doing what you're doing and running a business and all of that. I got to tell you, you were born to be a teacher. Now, I don't know if you can make this kind of a move, but I am going to hire an adjunct faculty member at the end of this year to run all the broadcasting things and teach a couple of public speaking courses. Would you do that? So I had to talk to my wife about it quite a bit. And what ended up happening, Adetta, was DJ Drew, pardon me, was I sold my business at age 40 or 41 and became a full-time teacher here at Dominican. At the time, I was an adjunct faculty member, which means you're not fully vested. But I was just, you know, I just made a huge life change from what I thought I'd be doing the rest of my life, running a business, to selling all of that and becoming a teacher. Never knew that I would be a teacher. And I bring that up because, A, you asked, but also it's kind of representative of what you get. And I don't know if it's just Dominican. It's probably all college experience. But when you go to college, so many doors open up for you, or at least they present themselves. Yeah. Whether or not you go through them is another story, because I could have said no.
Yeah.
And the last 20 years of my life, 20 plus years of my life, would have been much different, right?
Yeah.
But thankfully, I took her advice, sold off my interest in the business, became a faculty member at Dominican. I was an adjunct for 8 or 10 years and been full-time ever since. And so that's kind of how Penguin Radio got started. And as we grew, it became a part of the curriculum. Communication majors now, like you,
yep.
You have to take it. It's not just a club thing, you know, or an elective.
Yeah.
You got to do it. And they moved us into this beautiful studio, which is, you know, gigantic. And we broadcast 150 events a year for Dominican now, live. When the president speaks, it's on Penguin Radio, right? So it grew from an idea in a dorm room to this whole thing, right? it's quite amazing.
It's an outstanding story. Second question, how do you think college radio like differs from other forms of broadcasting, like, and what makes it unique?
That's such a good question. Although I bet you have a pretty thorough understanding of the answer, having participated in it, and really, because you've really dug into it. You know, when I listened to you, like I listened to the first 10 minutes of your show, I was in the parking lot and I was just thinking, what a natural you are. You're really good. We have a nice small class this semester, and it's super gratifying to hear people like you who get it. So what I love about college radio is the same thing I think a lot of people love about college radio. And that is while the DJs aren't as, I don't want to say polished. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Because you're plenty polished. That you are not under the same constraints as commercial DJs to say things and do things and be things. You get to be you. You get to present it the way you want to. So there's a raw factor that I love, and that people around the world who love college radio and only listen to college radio, that's the reason they love it. That it's not commercial radio. We are not tied to sponsors and, right? We're not held back by money.
Yeah.
We get to do what we want, provide a learning environment, still get to broadcast to the world, same as any college station, any commercial station. But we're not held back. And I think that's what I love about it, because people like you come in and think about where you were at the start of the semester. That very first show you did, which was perfectly good, to where you are now.
Yeah.
Like, you could go work anywhere now that you've done it, right? I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that was a really good answer.
Okay, thank you.
For the third question, what advice would you have for, like, a student that, like, wants to pursue it after college, a career in radio broadcasting after they graduate?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because the market is so small for people on air, right? Radio market in general is like any other. There's a lot of people behind the scenes. The odds of getting a job on air are much lower than they are getting a job behind the microphone as opposed to in front of the microphone. But that being said, if you're good, first off, you got to be good, right? You've got to dig in during college, really learn the craft, because it's an art form and a half. And create a great reel. In other words, an audio resume. Every budding DJ who really plans on doing something with this after college, you've got to have a resume that people can listen to, program directors can listen to, station managers can listen to. So if you go in and you say, hey, I'm really good and I should work for your radio station, KFRC or KCBS, KMBR, whatever. Those are big stations.
Yeah.
KFRC is 20,000. The others are 50. 20,000 watts, I'm talking. Those are big commercial stations where you can make a good living and satisfy that thing. And believe me, I understand it. I think maybe you understand it. There's a thrill. There's a visceral thrill that occurs when you're on the air. For me, I can feel it. I get pumped. Adrenaline starts. I'm pumped to do it. And the good broadcasters that I've met, those that I respect, they all will attest to the same visceral change that occurs with regard to getting amped up, because it's a performance.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're doing the traffic. You're performing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us thrive on that thing, whatever it is. Lots of people don't. They don't want any part of it. Radio people that are good at it and want to pursue it recognize within themselves that they're good at it and they want to pursue it. And it's more than just a job,
mm-hmm.
right? It's more than just work.
Yeah.
And I know that you appreciate what that feeling is. I don't know if you get it every time, but when you're rolling and feeling it, you know, right? Yeah. So you gotta have a good online resume.
Yeah.
So, right, you meet somebody and you say, hey, I'm really good at radio and I had a radio show in school and you should hear me because I'm great.
Mm-hmm.
That programming director might say, how can I hear it? And you hand them a card with a link on it,
yeah.
right? And there it is. They're going to make the call after that. But minimally, you have to have an online reel.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on. So do you have any like memorable moments while doing radio broadcasting, like a favorite game experience?
Okay. Example? Yeah. Let's see here. Well, there's a couple that come to mind. Mm-hmm. The first one that comes to mind is, you know, so I've done about 8,000 broadcasts. I'm trying to count them up. But if I'm doing 150 a year times 20 years, mm-hmm. Basketball games, 30 a year times 20 years. So that's 600 games right there. 30. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy stuff happens.
Yeah.
And, one game I can remember from 2004, I believe it was, here at Dominican. The women's team was playing against the Otters from Cal State University, Monterey Bay. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who've been here to Dominican, the Northern Hoop, that's when you walk into the gym. It's the hoop farthest from you. One of the Dominican players took a shot and it bounced off the back rim and popped straight up in the air and was coming down in the middle of the lane, mm-hmm. right in the middle. One of the Otter players was facing away from the bucket, boxing out or something. And it hit her right on the top of the head and popped back up and right through the basket for a Dominican two. Just one weird, right? One of those weird little things. And I've never seen that since.
Yeah.
We had a great player named Katie Christensen about 20 years ago. And she and her brother both played at the same time, both starters, Tommy on the men's team in 2004. And Katie was, I think, a year behind him. And it's, you know, it's funny, DJ Drew, once in a while she'll come to a home game and I'll see her, you know, all these years later, and she's got grown children and, you know, it's just
time flies.
It's crazy. Yeah. So one night, and by the way, she holds a Dominican record of 5 threes in a row.
Okay.
That was at Holy Names. And of course, Holy Names closed last year. But when I was a student at Dominican and all the way up until last year, Holy Names has always been our big rival, like Giants, Dodgers level rivalry.
Yeah.
So anyway, Holy Names came in, and back in the day, they owned everything. That is, they were the best at everything. We were always in their shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a great player named Lynette Ricks. Meanest, toughest, greatest female basketball player I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Just so good. And then Lynette Ricks was the point guard, the two guard, or one of the forwards was a young lady named Natalia Jonas. Equally as mean and tough and gnarly and just wanted to win so badly,
uh-huh.
right? In fact, Natalia Jonas had it. Now think, 20 something years ago, you didn't see tattoos as much, right? They're far more commonplace now. Natalia Jonas had a couple of boot prints on the backs of her calves.
Scary.
Tattoos of somebody, like they had stomped on her on their boots. Uh-huh. I don't know. It always stood out to me.
Yeah.
And if she wasn't our biggest rival,
I
would have wanted her on our team so badly because she was just so good.
Yeah.
Right? Aggressive. So I'm kind of setting this up. Right?
Yeah.
And I used to travel with the team. And I went into the trainer's room. I went over to Holy Names to call a game one night. And I went into the trainer's room to get some tape, to tape our banner up. And Natalia Jonas was on the training table, and she looks up and says, "What the F do you want?" Like, I just walked into the trainer's room. I wasn't even talking to her, right? She's just, back then, they used to all wear, at Holy Names, there was a big penguin on the front of their shirt with an anti sign through it, right? It was a big rivalry. Okay, so Natalia Jonas, Lynette Ricks, the shooting guard and one of the forwards. So we're playing them for all the marbles here at Dominican one night. And I mean, I was just in awe of these two ladies because they were just real gamers. And at the end of the game, as the buzzer rang, the score was tied, but there was a whistle on the play. And Katie Christensen, the girl I was telling you about at the start, was fouled on the play. Score is tied. It's for all the marbles. The winner goes to the tournament.
Yeah.
The loser stays home. No one had ever beaten Holy Names. Christensen gets a whistle. Time, it's zeros on the board. Three zeros. Game's over, except a whistle on the buzzer. So Christensen goes to the line and misses the first one. And I'm talking, the place is totally packed, 1,285 people packed. And she steps back and makes the second one for the Penguins to win that night, go to the tournament, champions of the league. And I saw Lynette Ricks and Natalia Jonas cry at the end. Now, I've seen players cry, but I've never seen these two ladies cry. Yeah. It really hurt for Dominican to kind of usurp their greatness, right? Those two games where the ball bounced off the Otter player's head and then Katie Christensen making the second one. She misses the first one, right?
Missed the first one.
And everybody's freaking out because we're going to have to go OT or whatever. And it was one of the great moments in DU history.
That's incredible.
It really was amazing.
This happened in 20 years ago, you said?
Yeah, more.
More than 20 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. Because my first game was 2000.
Okay.
So, it's back then somewhere. Okay. We were in the NAIA. And as much as I, it's not that I hate Holy Names, but as a student, I hated Holy Names in a rivalry kind of way.
Yeah.
Right?
Understandable.
I would still hate them, but I didn't want them to go away.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sorry that they went because that was a great rivalry for many years. Mm-hmm. But, higher education's in a tough place right now.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Next question. Can you talk about the importance of hands-on experience in practicing and learning the art of broadcasting?
Okay, I'll make this quick because I know your show's almost over. But nothing is more valuable to somebody who wants to get a job in media down the road, who wants to get involved in media. I'm not positive where you want to go with this, but I am positive you could do something with it if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. You want to go be an influencer. You want to have a podcast, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that you, DJ Drew, could do that not everybody can do. Mm-hmm. It's you either... The part of it is God-given talent.
Yeah.
Part of it is that. Most of it is not. Most of it is drive and
hard work.
Hands-on, hard work. Showing up, doing the work, right? That goes a long way in this business. So if you're somebody who thinks that being a media person or an influencer is a walk in the park, it's not for you. It's 5% glamour, 5% you're a star, and 95% killing yourself because there's so many people in the game and not everybody makes it.
Yeah.
So hands-on work, just as you said, nothing more valuable.
Mm-hmm. Should I?
Yeah, you're good.
All right. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
That was really good insight of people that want to get into radio, have never touched radio before and want to try it out. It's a great experience if no one's ever experienced it before. I've enjoyed it ever since I started earlier this semester. Pleasure for coming on to my show, answering these questions. I loved the basketball story. That was I wish I experienced that rivalry more when I came in, but fortunately, Holy Names is not with us anymore. And appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening. listening to Penguin Radio, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Drew, and you're listening to my show, Numbers on the Court. Every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, get ready to slam dunk into the heart of NBA action. Like I always do, I'll talk about the NBA games, the stats, what's happening around the association, different kinds of sports as well. And pleasure for you guys for listening to me. Thank you.